Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio program. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. Periodically, I do stories that impact one segment of the Christian church more than others. There may be a story, or a topic that we talk about on the broadcast that deals with something like, well, let's say fatherhood, with Father's Day coming up. Obviously, there might be principles that we can extract from that all of us could apply, but obviously the message would be more geared towards fathers in that discussion. Well, the discussion that we're going to talk about today is something that transcends all those boundaries. It's something that in one way or another impacts every single one of us. And so the subject that I'm talking about is the subject of suffering. Now, granted, many people have suffered more than others. There's no doubt about that. I think we'll hear that today. But just the idea of suffering, setbacks, of difficulties and difficult situations in life and so forth like that, all of those things are things that every single one of us has dealt with. And so we've got to know how to deal with them in a biblical way, how to think through what is taking place and apply, think about the scriptures, what's revealed to us in God's word, and then see how do we apply the word so that we can then go through these difficult times in a way that is pleasing to God. Well, that's what this book and this author, I think, will speak to today on the program. The book is called The Scars That Have Shaped Me: How God Meets Us in Suffering, and it's written by Vanitha Reisner, and the tagline is published by Desiring God, but on the website, at least this is off of Amazon. I'll give you a different website that you can go to find out more about Vanitha and the book in just a moment, but on the page out on Amazon, it says this: 21 surgeries by age 13, years in the hospital, verbal and physical bullying from schoolmates, multiple miscarriages as a young wife, the death of a child, a debilitating progressive disease, riveting pain, abandonment, an unwanted divorce. Vanitha Rendall Reisner begged God for grace that he would deliver her, but God offered something better, his sustaining grace. In The Scars That Have Shaped Me, published by Desiring God, Vanitha does more than share her stories of pain. She invites other sufferers to taste with her the goodness of God, of a sovereign God who will carry us in our darkest days. The statement that's made there about Vanitha and her biography says this: Vanitha Rendall Reisner is passionate about helping others find hope and joy in the midst of suffering. Her story includes contracting polio as a child, losing an infant son, unexpectedly, developing post-polio syndrome, and going through an unwanted divorce, all of which has forced her to deal with her loss, and so forth in the biography. I wanted to get Vanitha on the program to talk through what she writes about in her book, because I know it would be of such interest to the listening audience here at the Knowing the Truth radio program. So with that, let me say, Vanitha, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
Vanitha, if we could, let's walk through your book a little bit. I gave a little bit of a summary there. But let me just let you tell the story a little bit about what you write about in the book, and then maybe I can we'll go through some of the specifics that you mentioned in the book. How's that sound?
That sounds great. well, the book's I think the distinctive of the book and why I wrote it is I really wanted to be real and transparent about how hard suffering is and share where I've doubted, how I've yelled at God and lamented. But even through that process, I've grown to love God more as I've wrestled with Him and wrestled with Scripture. So that's sort of why I wrote it. And the book is, the beginning of the book just talks about the different types of suffering I've been through. I just go through different things. When my son died, my husband left. And then the rest of the book is really about how God meets us within the different struggles that we have, whether it's loneliness or just different things that are byproducts of the suffering that we go through. And the end of the book is really just about the hope we have and the hope of heaven and what God does with our suffering.
Mm. Let's talk about a couple of the parts of the book. And for our listening audience, it's basically broke up into two parts. And the first part speaks about fearfully and wonderfully made, which, of course, is a direct quote from Psalm 139. And then the second part of the book then says, look on my affliction, which, again, maybe a little bit lesser known passage of Scripture, but deals with Psalm 119, obviously the longest chapter in the Bible, actually the longest prayer in the Bible too, I would say. But in this passage, in 153, that's where the David, I believe, writing that psalm, is calls out upon the Lord to look upon his affliction. So then part three deals with joy coming in the morning. And that has reference to the idea of Psalm 30, weeping may tarry for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. So those three sections, I said two originally, but three sections in the book. And let's just talk a little bit about the first section seems to be the telling of the suffering that you're going through. But I thought it was interesting that in the telling of those sufferings that are there, that you quote that verse in order to be the verse that speaks about this suffering. The idea, you are formed, or you form me, my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Why did you select that verse as the summary verse to summarize all of this hardship that you've experienced in this life?
I think because I don't think any of my hardship was an accident. I feel like God, in his mercy, knew all these things were going to happen and knew they would shape me. And so it wasn't some kind of random accidental thing that happened. It was all part of God's plan for me. So I wanted that sort of clear on the front end, is I don't think this is God's plan B for my life and plan A just got derailed, but this is why God made me. And all of these things are part of the story that God wanted to weave into my life.
I think it was Nancy Guthrie who I think also endorsed the book as well. But I remember one section of one of her books speaking about suffering. She quoted from a sermon that suffering is not God's plan B in the person's life. It is plan A, that not only has he allowed suffering, which is the way that most people speak about it, but he has actually ordained the suffering in people's life. Is that part of what you're getting to by quoting this verse?
Yes, very much so. I mean, I do feel like God ordained all of our days before one of them comes to be. Which is actually the beginning of that verse that I said right before that. And, I don't feel like any of our suffering is random. I do feel like it's all ordained by God.
Hmm. I made a note in preaching through a passage of Scripture in the Gospels, and I had noted that in one particular passage that we were in, that the Lord Jesus Christ had spoke about taking up your cross. And it was interesting, in one passage it said, take up the cross, and then in another passage it had actually said, take up your cross. And I was trying to talk about the difference between those two crosses to the congregation, and I was saying that the cross is the general suffering and persecution and all of the animosity that is associated inherent in the gospel message and the response oftentimes to those that are outside of Christ and showing animosity towards it. And that's the cross. But then there is your cross, you know, these what I referred to as custom-made crosses that are designed by God in our life, where we are called to carry those particular things through this life. Do you think these things that you talk about here, the bullying, the burying of your son, you know, your body and everything that's taking place in your body, and then the marriage situation there with the unwanted divorce, would you see all of those as being part of these custom-made crosses?
Oh, absolutely. I definitely see that these are all things that, in some ways, it sounds crazy, but they were gifts from God to help me love him more. And I remember a few years ago, I was at a conference, and somebody said it was a conference on giving, and they wanted everyone to talk about what their greatest gifts were from people. What is the greatest gift you've ever received was the question. And I hadn't really thought about it before, but I remember saying suffering. And it shocked me when I heard myself say it. I wasn't even thinking that. But I do think that's one of the greatest gifts I've ever received is suffering. And I think that was God forming my cross for me and going through this suffering that I've gone through because he had a bigger purpose for it.
Hmm. When we say that, you know, that this was a gift from God, and obviously it is startling to hear somebody say that, especially somebody who has gone through this level of suffering. I just want to make sure that people hear what we're saying and understand what we're not saying. We're not saying, and I'll let you respond to these, we're not saying that we glory in suffering itself, right? There's no inherent glorying in going through difficult situations. We're glorying in what the suffering does in us, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's funny. I was talking to my mom about this morning, actually, and we were just talking about suffering, and I don't think suffering in itself is anything to be glorified, but it is really what God does in our suffering. So suffering is a gift because God uses it in our lives, and I think more than anything, it presses us into God, and we see him in a different way. I feel like in my life, the times that I've really known that God is real are in the midst of suffering, whereas I think there's other times, and when I wasn't suffering, there's this sort of thing you play in your mind, like, hey, is this real? Is God real? I mean, there are times we ask those questions, but for me, the midst of suffering, I don't ask those, because God is the only thing I have, and so the depth of my faith has always come through suffering, because that's when I really see God. So that's why I think it's a gift. It's not the pain itself, because some people take the pain and they turn away from God because they don't want God in the midst of that. And so it's not the suffering. It's the way God uses it as we turn to him.
Amen. And it's a tool in the master's hand, right? I mean, it's a hammer, but it's a tool in his hand, and it's used to chisel us and to develop us into what he wants us to be. Like you see these great sculptors, they look at a hunk of rock, and then they can see in that how they could shape it and sculpt it to be this beautiful image afterwards. And this is basically what God is doing here with us. And one of those tools to do that is the suffering, so that it shapes us and molds us more into the image of Christ, right?
Oh, absolutely. That is a wonderful. I mean, it shapes us and molds us, and it also proclaims God's glory to the world. Mm. I think when people suffer and they are willing and they praise God, I think the world really notices that.
Mm-hmm.
I think C.S. Lewis says that it's a megaphone. When you are suffering, it's a megaphone to the world. They want to hear you.
Mm.
So I think in addition to changing us, I think it really glorifies God. And as well as I think it really, when we suffer, God gives us a ministry of really talking to other people and comforting them with the comfort that God has given us.
Mm.
And that's been a really big part of why I wrote the book, is I wanted to say, God has comforted me in this. I want to encourage you to press into God, because he will comfort you.
Mm.
And so I think that's another one of the blessings God gives us in suffering is to share it, because it really does lessen the pain in some strange way, knowing that you talk to somebody else who's gone through something hard and you can encourage them with your experience. I think that is just an amazing blessing from God.
Amen. Maybe this will work as a good segue to the second part of the book, but I also wanted to state that when we talk about it being a gift or all of these benefits of suffering that we've been talking about, I want to make sure people are clear that we don't seek it, this suffering, for one thing. You know, we don't go out of our way and say, you know, in our prayers, oh, Lord, make me suffer so that through this way I will be closer to you. Nor do we refuse then to ask God to remove the suffering, even though we're saying that it has all these great benefits to it. We don't then refuse and say, well, I'm not going to ask God to remove it because, you know, this suffering is doing such a great work in my life. But rather, it's in that asking and then oftentimes not receiving, at least not receiving immediately and so forth, or in the way that we wanted and so forth. All of that entire process is part of this that is used by God instrumentally in our life to make us who he wants us to be.
No, absolutely. I think I know through my own life, most of the time when suffering comes, my first thing is to beg God to take it away. It's not like, oh, wow, this is great. I mean, I would not want to walk through any of the things that I've been through again. God may call me to do that, but as I walk through them, they're not fun. I'm not enjoying them. They're horribly hard, and I do beg God for deliverance. And sometimes I get deliverance, and that's wonderful. But when I don't get deliverance, God sustains me through the day for whatever I'm going through. But I would say it has every single time been something that I want to say to God, no, thank you. I don't want this. This is too hard. So even I feel like I've been through a lot of different types of suffering in my life, but I look at it and I ask God to take it away pretty much immediately. And Johnny Erickson Tata has this great saying. She said suffering is a gift wrapped in black. And so there is a gift there, but it's wrapped in black, and we don't want it. But as God gives it to us, as we know it's good for us, then God uses it. But, and so in that way, we embrace it, but I don't think we enjoy it. I don't think we want it. And God can be glorified in taking away our pain as well as us honoring him through it. So I definitely am not a person who says, you know, don't pray for healing. I think God can really be glorified in that, and I've seen people healed, and that's an amazing thing. But at the same time, God is also glorified when we continue to trust him when we're not healed.
Yeah, I think most of the discussion about, you know, what we can glean from suffering and what God is doing, what a good God is doing through suffering in our life, stands juxtaposed to, you know, a hyper-charismatic viewpoint that the only way that God could be justified or God could be glorified would be in the deliverance of us. And we're saying that both are true, that if God does deliver, praise the Lord, kind of like the children of the three children that were thrown into the fire. If God delivers us, you know, praise the Lord. If he doesn't deliver us, he's still God. And praise the Lord, you know. So in the same way, I think we're saying that type of thing here. The second part of the book, well, let me remind our listening audience, we're speaking to Vanitha Reisner about her book, The Scars That Have Shaped Me. It's published by Desiring God Ministries. And Vanitha's website, I wanted to make sure that I mentioned that, but Vanitha's website is called dancinginthe.com. dancinginthe.com. I thought it was pretty funny the way you start in that on that blog where you say, just to set the record straight, I've never actually danced in the rain.
And then
you say, not only that, I don't like the rain. I really don't like getting wet. You've got obviously a great gift at writing, and it was just a good introduction to your website. Let me put it that way.
Thank you. Oh, and actually, just a quick correction. It's actually Dance in the Rain, not dancing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, Dance in the Rain. Okay. Dance in the Rain, and that was, let me bring it up here again, .com, danceintherain.com.
Yes.
And you can go out there and find out all sorts of information about Vanitha. Her blogging is great. And then also you find out other things out there, too, about the book that I'm talking about. And there's a link there to Desiring God. There's a great little video that's been produced, I think, by Desiring God that's out there. It's not very long. I bet you 10 minutes or something. But, wow, powerful video about Vanitha and so forth. And so I just highly recommend that you go out there and watch it. I tell you what, I'll just say this right now. You go out there and watch it. If you're not don't enjoy watching what she has to say in that video, write me a note or something. I'll give you your money back. So that's the best I can do. Let me ask you about the second section then, when you say, look on my affliction. And one of the chapters that caught my attention was talking myself through suffering. Talk about it. It reminds me of this idea of preaching to ourselves, I think is what you have in mind there. But talk to our listeners about that.
Okay. Well, talking myself through suffering, I wrote when I was, it started, I think, I was trying to carry a plate to the table. And I have post polio, so my arms sometimes just don't work at all. And I couldn't do it. And my first reaction was, really, like, God, this is so unfair. I've been through so much suffering, and you're continuing to bring more suffering into my life. So I was sort of angry. And then I realized I'm listening to the lies of Satan. I need to really pray in the midst of suffering and pray that God will remind me of the things that I need to see in suffering. And so that was the talking myself through. Martin Lloyd-Jones has this saying to stop listening to ourselves and start talking. And so when I listen to myself, I say, you know, God, I don't deserve this. Why are you doing this? I've been faithful. You're not fair. This isn't fair. But when I talk to myself, I remind myself of Scripture a lot of times, the truth that I know about God and about what he does in suffering. And so that's something I do a lot, actually, for myself, because, to be honest, my first reaction is pretty much always, why me? Take this away. This is hard. I don't want this. I mean, that is the first thing I think when anything hard steps onto my doorstep. But then I feel like my second response, I think in a lot of ways, is what counts, or I tell myself that, which is, okay, I've got to see God in this. And so that's when I talk to myself and remind myself of his faithfulness and remind myself I need to pray and open the Bible and just remember the things that God has done in the past, because that really encourages me. Like when I'm going through a new thing of suffering, I think, okay, remember when this happened and how God was faithful. And that's a way the saints through the ages have really survived. I think a lot of suffering is remembering, even though we're going through something really hard, God has been faithful in the past. And you see that all through the pages of Scripture. I mean, the children of Israel go back to the parting of the Red Sea. God delivered us. God delivered us. He will deliver us. And so I think that's really what I meant by talking myself through suffering.
I made a statement when I was talking about Naaman in the Old Testament. Naaman was angry at the way in which the prophet told him that he could be healed of his leprosy. And his servant then said to him, you know, Master, doest thou well to be angry? And if he had told your heart then to do, you would have done it. He told you to do this, do it. And I said this, I said, second thoughts are good things for angry men. And I think that that's so true for us. You know, our like you said, our first thought is anger, and, you know, this isn't what I expected. I thought it would, and Naaman even says this, I thought he would, and then he went goes into this long thing. I thought he would do this, I thought he would do that, but second thoughts are good things for angry men, and I love the way you just explained that. In the closing part of the book, and we only have a couple minutes left, but you talk about joy comes in the morning in the closing part, and the last part there, the staggering promises or promise of heaven. We like to say at the church that I pastor that suffering has a way of weaning us from this world and welding us to Christ, that we'd see that all of our happiness is not here. It never is going to be here in its full completeness. We're strangers and pilgrims passing through this land. We're looking for another place where everything will be perfect. Are those the types of concepts that you seek to encourage people with in that final chapter?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Just that, in heaven there is no more crying, tears, or pain, and just realizing that, we have a glorious future ahead of us. And Paul says, I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And just realizing that just in comparison to what heaven is going to be, this earth is passing away in the blink of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really where our joy is.
Mm. Amen. Well, Vanitha, excellent job on writing this book, and I pray that the Lord would mightily use it to, as you have said already, that you're hoping for this, to comfort others that are going through this. I think it will be. I think as they read it and they hear, the very candid way that you speak about the things that you have gone through and the way that you have dealt with it, ultimately, I'll put it that way in a biblical way, right? But ultimately,
yeah.
I think that is a very important message for people to hear, and I pray that God will use this to meet people in their suffering.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Kevin. I pray the same thing.
Thank you very much for being on the program today. We really appreciate it.
Well, it's my joy to be here. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Again, that was Vanitha Reisner, and the book is called The Scars That Have Shaped Me, How God Meets Us in Suffering. Believe me, if you watch that video, I posted it on the Facebook page, but if you watch that video, you'll see for yourself, just what a quick glimpse of what's going to be talked about in this book. You can go out to her website, danceintherain.com. That's www.danceintherain.com. And out there you'll be able to see that video, find out about the book, and find out more about Vanitha.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.